This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's a big day for Lima. He might be taking champion's pose a lot. I've been getting beaten into submission. It's been a bad couple of weeks for me. I ain't gonna lie to you. He has done an about-face on the Cavs. He asked Danny Cunningham a very pointed question about worst-case scenarios, which he got exactly the answer he wanted, which I'm happy they're winning games. That's fine. I'm happy, and I think that the series is over. Lima believes that the series is over as well. And there's also where Lima is working a show on like eight fronts right now where there is a kick gate going on where Mo Wagner went into the crowd and apparently there is a lady who is sitting on the courtside and it does look like she takes a little bit of a, this isn't Shawn Michaels.
No.
But there was a little bit of a kick to the calf.
Yeah, she's helping him back on the floor. Hey, get out there. Get out there, professional athlete. Get back out there on the floor.
But now you're getting a bunch of tweets or something about her standing up the whole time or whatever. I'm not trying to besmirch
people. According to what I'm seeing, and she is more than welcome to call in 216-474-0092 or the gentleman that was with her, according to everybody.
That guy's okay. That guy had to walk off the floor. He's banged up.
He had to walk off the floor because obviously
under his own power.
That might be part of it, too. Would that be the case out of just anger? You've got a guy trying to rile up the entire team that you're rooting for, rile up the entire crowd, and then that behemoth jumps into the stands.
6'11".
On to 6'11", 250, did we find it?
Very large man.
Was it 260?
No, 245.
324.
Combine number. I'm sure he's packed it down.
He's the size of an abominable snowman.
Yeah, and he's been eating in Cleveland the last few days. So you imagine he's... You know, going up to any number of our fine German establishments.
Has he had?
You never lose the bratwurst weight. That's always going to be there. Yes.
So I imagine she's not happy about that. I mean, her either partner or husband or whoever it was harmed just innocently sitting in the first row. However, a lot of people have said that she was very annoying the entire game. She was standing.
Well, let me ask you. Well, you can't stand, but I didn't notice. I noticed these things. There was a guy in a yellow jumpsuit on Saturday who was like, he was turning around, definitely talking to somebody, bringing attention to himself to somebody behind him. And I'm like, I can't imagine those people sitting there paying probably $600 for those seats, at least, are very thrilled with you standing up while action is going on and the game is still relatively close. Because it was first quarter. I can't imagine this is setting a good tone for the rest of the afternoon, sir. And I noticed that. I never noticed her. But honestly, guys, I was hosting a radio show during the first quarter and really almost the first half. There was a lot of things that I didn't notice the first half where I said Darius Garland had a pretty good game and people went nuts on social media. I was like, I thought he was pretty decent. And I got people ripping me up and down about Darius Garland. I go, he hit some big threes in the second half. Really put the dagger in him.
Yeah, he put the game out of reach.
Put the game out of reach. I didn't think. I even wrote down. I go, man, there's something about game twos that Darius seems to like. And when you look over the box score, his plus minus is minus four.
Guys, none of the box scores in this series are ever going to look good.
Well, see, I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's true. Everybody's bitching up a storm about George Niang over the last couple of days, but he's been in the plus over plus minus in the first couple of games. Same thing with the Strus Moose. He's always plus on his plus minus. So the offense is run better. The offense is, this is a lot where you're playing it. This is going to be some analysis here that maybe you're going to say this is stupid, but I'm going to go with it here. Young teams maybe tend to throw so much on top of scouting reports that they kind of lose themselves in the moment. George Yang is a 30-year-old veteran of the league. Max Strus is a veteran of the league. I'm not sure how old the Strus Moose is, but he's a veteran of the league. They come from good stock. Philly, Miami. They've played in big games before, right? Right. There might be a point where they still are going to respect their shot. Now, this might be just where they're pros and they're always going to respect those guys' shots because that's how they made their bones in the league. But they're going to respect those shots. They're going to respect George Niang. So if somebody's coming out on George Niang, the extra pass frees up Darius Garland, frees up Donovan, frees up the Strus Moose. So there's possibilities there. So yeah, I know George didn't look too hot last night. That I did notice throughout the game. All right. And some people were complaining about JB leaving him in there, but there was obviously some positivity to draw defenses to him, the gravity of George Niang, and create opportunities for other people. If you didn't like what I said, you throw it right back at me. Make me look like an idiot. That's okay.
To me, the thing that has stood out is the Cavs were not going to get pushed around, and the Magic were certainly not going to be the team that could pull that off. I think they obviously came out with that mindset. The Magic did. Like, hey, we know what happened last year. We can damage their already fragile psyche, and it has not worked. The Cavs have been there. They've been standing tall, and they have not allowed any of those antics to get in their headspace. In fact, I would argue that their counterpunches have gotten into the heads of the Magic because they look totally bewildered. They look intimidated, and now none of them want to shoot. And when they do shoot and can't hit, they're not getting back on defense. When Suggs went down, and I think that was the second quarter, the Cavs took off from there. I know Suggs came back in the game, was kind of limping around, but it has been a real, real blow to the Magic that the Cavs, even though they've kind of struggled offensively too,
yeah,
they are not giving up anything easy to the Magic. And the only thing easy they're giving up are those three-pointers, and they're happy to give them
up. Yeah, and that I think that these are things that come with time because if you're Jamal Mosley, you do not want guys going away from your scouting reports, going away from your game plan. So I'm not just saying, like, I don't know why I'm coming up with Orlando ideas, but if you're Orlando, you don't want guys to just go out there and street ball instead of actually going through their plans and being professionals. But these are adjustments that you make during a series, and it takes time. But the problem is that you're so young and inexperienced, and you do not have the team that the Cavs do. You probably don't have enough time in the series to make those adjustments. Because this is where J.B. Bickerstaff, and I totally agree with Danny Cunningham, yes, he was – Tom Thibodeau got on a moped and ran circles around J.B. last year, but he's clearly out-coaching Jamal Mosley at this time right now.
Yeah, I think that's something we should highlight a little more.
Give him credit.
We all thought J.B. this was going to be it.
Yeah, and I asked him, Sam Merrill, and I know you kind of – people raise their eyebrows about one Mississippi Merrill and asking him about that. It's like, is that part of what unfolds – in game 3 and game 4 where, all right, you've adjusted to George or you've adjusted to the Strus Moose or even LeVert for that matter, he's been high energy for these first two games. He's been fantastic. I know that the box score might not reflect, but I love how he's been this game, these first two games. And then does Sam Merrill play a role in this to free up some other people? Like this is how a series goes where you do have to think, as Kevin Stefanski's got to think about third down on first down, and down in distance, you have to think about game 3 and game 1. And this is where I think JB is starting to learn this. Might be a little too late, but I think that's where he's definitely learning that. 216-474-0092. I got to get to Jeremy in Texas. He's listening on the free Odyssey app. Hello, Jeremy.
Hey, how are y'all doing? I love you guys, and thanks for what you do. I just want to tell you my experience in Texas as a Clevelander trying to watch, you know, Cleveland sports.
Okay.
I get the NFL on YouTube, which is glorious. The way they do it is absolutely glorious. I get Major League Baseball on FUBU. It's glorious. They give you your own channel for the Guardians. Everything's on it all the time. But then when it comes to the NBA, it's a complete cluster. And so I had it on FUBU. It was set to record. It said it was going to be on. And then I go to watch it at night, and there's no recording. And I'm like, what? And I can't find it anywhere. So then all of a sudden I'm just on Amazon because I'm upset watching something else. And all of a sudden the game's on Amazon Prime for some reason where I'm at.
The game was on Prime?
Order on Amazon.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I
well, FUBU went out of business.
On Amazon Prime.
He means FUBO. Sorry. I accidentally said it too, Jeremy.
But Tommy Hilfiger.
I think Tommy Hilfiger is still in business. Hey, did you see Express, though, recently? Not very good. Go ahead and Google that during the break. Yeah. Eastwood Mall is looking for a new tenant, I think, very soon here. No, Jeremy.
I still don't get it. Yeah.
You're the first person who's mentioned Prime. I had no idea that it was even offered on Prime. I looked at Twitter, the 3 hours. I have not seen that at all. Yeah. You missed a dominant performance. Well, you got to see it, but up until then, you were missing a dominant performance. It was a great game by the Cavs.
No, I was super bummed, and I was glad to watch the fourth quarter. And I mean, I've watched NBA on Amazon before, like when I got the package or whatever to watch it. But that wasn't what it was. It was just on. I couldn't pause it. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't even record it. It was super bizarre.
Yeah, that's
but anyway. I'm glad they won.
Yeah, it was Jeremy. Thank you very much for the call, and that's where you got to give ESPN credit. Like, it just seems to be so much easier to just hey, we find it. That's it. Like, I remember I did say to Gibbs as I was getting ready for the preview show yesterday. I go, man, I don't even. I think it's in my favorites, but I don't know if NBA TV's in my favorites. I really only watch NBA TV for Summer League. It's the only time I really watch the channel. And it happened to be in my favorites, but then I clicked back
over
to Ballard.
I am a fan of the Hardwood Classics, so you'll see me middle of the offseason.
I should watch it. I should. I like old stuff.
Watching Sharif Abdul Rahim and the Vancouver Grizzlies.
I only watched
God Sham God.
I only watched the Rockets Knicks finals because I missed it that one day because I was watching something else.
You name your kid God. You've set a high bar. Big Jumbo, Maple Heights, you're next up in the fan. Hello.
My voice. Real quick, I got something for you, Ken, real quick.
All right.
If you're going to Belize on the cruise, make sure you bring yourself a bottle of One Barrel Rum. It's one of the greatest rums. It's a Central American rum of the year every year. I've been to Belize 3 times.
One,
I love it.
Now, I got to buy it in Belize?
Yes, you can buy it in Belize, and then you store it on the boat, and then you'll get it at the end of the trip, and that's always cool.
Now, will you be able to use that, Big Jums, to barter for your life with the scoundrels that are going to be in the waters?
Oh,
I've been on many cruises. I don't do that. You just carry a few extra dollars with you. Give them 10, they'll run off.
This is $70.
That's all you have
Jums?
To do for the Pirates? Just take care of
you
right there.
A couple doubloons on you?
You think I'm spending $70 on rum?
I never spent that much, but then again, there you go. That's a cost of inflation. But anyways,
well, that's a totally different show.
That's Fridays at 9:40.
But your kids will love. It's called cave tubing. My kids still talk about that.
Oh no, this is just me and Liz.
Oh, then
yeah, I ain't taking them. They don't deserve it.
I'm gonna go with something here. I was wondering why during this game yesterday, when they were struggling a little with Yang was struggling in that, and for defensive purposes. Put some little toughness. Why didn't they bring Morris in for a little bit or double T, somebody just to bang around for 4 or 5 minutes before half or something like that? Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys are sitting there being those expensive cheerleaders.
I'll tell you why. You know, I know why.
I'm
Jumps. Because
you don't think that Morris could have hit a jumper here and there, and he's a good defender and body up on some of them guys? I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but rest the guys a little bit. I'm just saying, you know, because Yang he struggled yesterday.
Well, tell him, I got my thought, but Tone, Jumps, thank you very much for the call.
Because
Tone,
those guys are talking so much trash throughout the course of the game to Suggs, to the Wagner duo. Those guys did not stop yapping. Do you remember George Niang, by the way?
I didn't notice that.
So there was one of 1,000 controversial calls that game. Both teams are just following each other on every possession. It's just a matter of which ones they call.
Especially down the stretch.
And it's worked out. By the way, it's worked out for the Cavs, so I don't have a big problem with it. Both teams' fan bases think they're getting screwed by the refs. Trust me. Both teams are just fouling on every possession. And it's working out, and I can tell you that I think Mo went to the free throw line, missed a free throw, corralled by Niang, and he just screamed. He screamed as loud as he could.
Yep. Almost, I do remember that.
Almost
remember
like
that,
you're
yes.
in elementary school going, these teams hate each other's guts already. It's only 2 games. And Morris and Tristan Thompson are having a blast not playing in this series. Trust me.
So
they're enjoying it.
We have penciled in Austin Carr, Mr. Cavalier. Hopefully we'll be able to get him coming up next. 216-474-0092. And you're not going to believe who was sitting together. Speaking of sitting on the floor, you're not going to believe who was sitting together at the end of the game yesterday. And it means a lot. if you watched a certain game at the end of the night late last night. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima, take us with you to work or turn us on at work on the free Odyssey app. Mr. Cavalier, Austin Carr, he saw it. He broke it down. He joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Austin Carr, hello.
Good morning. How you doing?
We're doing wonderful. These first two games, it's been therapeutic for Cavs fans after the way the season kind of unfolded in the regular season, a little bit of a roller coaster ride. You breaking it down, how have you seen these first two games unfold in this series?
Well, I think what the Cavs learned with their experience last year was they got a hit first. And I think they have realized that coming out of the locker room, you got to be ready to go. And that, to me, has been the beginning of a new mindset for this team. They've done a good job of coming out and hitting first and forcing them to be on their heels. And once you get a team on their heels, especially a team that hasn't been there, because it happened to the Cavs last year, even though the Knicks weren't experienced either, but they hit first, and it made a big difference.
Austin, what has it been like in that building? Unfortunately, I've had to stay at home, watch the kids, and watch on TV, but the atmosphere seems amazing. What has that been like, having these breakthroughs and being able to do it at home in the playoffs?
Well, you can feel the energy as soon as you walk into the building. I mean, that to me is it reminds me of my days when I played. You can feel that energy. Everybody's ready to go. And that's why it's important to get off to a good start, because the crowd is just ready to roar. And when you get them started early, they don't stop in the playoffs. They just keep going. And it's been something that you can, like I said, it's something that you can actually feel.
AC joining us. As a quick aside before we get into the nitty-gritty basketball breakdown, which I can't wait to do with you, we are noticing that courtside, it can be a very dangerous place to be. Now, all your years of doing games, players have flown right into the broadcast table. We saw it yesterday in the front row, courtside seats. One gentleman had to get, you know, taken out there, and they almost had him on a stretcher at one point. His partner, she seemed to get maybe physical at one point. It looked to the naked eye. It could be dangerous down there, AC.
Yeah, it's when you got 250-pound, 230-pound guys running around like that, it can get pretty tough down there if you get hit with one guy coming at you strong. And then that was the situation. I mean, he actually fell all his weight on the gentleman, and that was a tough situation. And I hope he's okay. I haven't had an update on how he's doing.
Well, some people were kind of in my mentions on social media, like, well, was he overacting? I go, well, if he didn't see it coming, like if he had his attention somewhere else, and you can't brace yourself for something like that, especially
you can see it coming, but you can't get out of the way in time. I mean, because you got somebody sitting next to you on both sides, and he's coming straight at you. So where are you going to go? So you have to duck left or right, and then you 9 times out of 10, that's not enough because the guy is too big.
Do you think we may see something someday, Austin, where like we won't be sitting directly on the floor, directly courtside like that? Because I mean, you are such large men running at full speed, trying to save basketballs to keep your team in games.
I don't think so, because the fans love sitting there. they want the action, and I don't think so personally. And you have devices that they're making now to where you can actually sit on the floor and actually feel like you're in the game. So I mean, there's so many things that's going to stop that from happening, I think. So there's always going to be people sitting by the floor, by the action.
What did you think of the game that Darius Garland had yesterday?
It was an up-and-down game. I mean, he's starting to get it back at certain points in the game, because he came up big with those two threes we needed right there when they were trying to make a comeback, coming back on us. And right now he's – really, what I think he's doing is learning how to play the type of ball that we are playing now, which is more of a get off the ball, pass and cut and move and all that. And so he's.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
He's caught in the middle right now, and you can see it because he turns the ball over sometimes in situations where he normally never did before.
AC, you got the best seats in the house. How healthy does Darius look? And even Donovan Mitchell took a bit of a cheap shot, you know, yesterday from a screener. What is your take on how those guys look as you're able to see them all year?
Yeah, I think they're getting better. I mean, at this time of year, everybody's got a little ding somewhere. So it's not like you're going to be 100% now. So, but I think, you know, everybody's coming along now. I think as far as Darius is concerned, he feels a lot better than he has all year, basically. I mean, but I think everybody else, somebody's, you know, got a finger that's not right, or a thigh that's bruised, or a toe that's not right. So, like Isaac's playing with a toe problem. So, you know, and he played big when he came in the game. So, I mean, at this time of year, you just kind of have to man up and get it done.
Offensively, AC, again, there have been some struggles in the third quarter, but you mentioned those big baskets by Darius Garland. Are you sensing that this team, even though they're still not shooting the three ball that well, it's been pretty ugly from long distance, that they're getting their bearings in other ways, that they're finding a way to get those easy baskets against this defense?
Yes, they are. And that's a good observation because, you know, the threes are not there because this is such a physical team and rugged. They don't, even when you get threes, they're there. And so, it takes a little bit of your concentration, but they're learning to realize as strong as this team is in the paint, that's where they are also have weaknesses, and that's what we've been able to take advantage of.
Austin Carr joining us on the show on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mr. Cavalier, how have you thought of Evan Mobley? The question of toughness has been brought up so many times. I think he's playing as tough as he can. I mean, I think that Orlando's doing everything they can except ball up their fists and actually sock him.
Yeah, but that's how they're playing anyway. As soon as they start having troubles with scoring, the first thing they do is they ball up their fists and start fighting. I mean, that's just their MO because they don't have any other recourse to fall back on because they're not good shooters offensively. So it's all about, you know, getting into your head physically. But I think Mobley's done a super job since he's come back from injury. He's much more aggressive now. If you notice in the league, when a guy has – the offensive guy has the ball, the defensive guy has no rights. So he's out there just out there because they'll let an offensive guy just drop his shoulder and hit you square in your chest and you get the call. And I think they have to change that rule somewhere during the course of next season. Because a defensive guy, if you're standing there, that is your property. I mean, you are allowed that space. I mean, but they just let an offensive guy run over you and you get the call. They don't have to change that. But Mobley's realized that, and now he's starting to do that to the opponent. But defensively, man, this guy's a wizard, man. He does so many things around that basket, and him and Allen both are really doing a good job in the series so far.
Austin Carr, join us on the hotline, recapping that Game 2 win last night over at Rocket Mortgage. All right, Lance Stephenson, Joakim Noah, Mo Wagner, where do you rank them? If you'd like to do a power ranking, AC, you certainly could.
Should we hit the music for
them?
Yeah,
the biggest agitators in Cavs playoff history. Come on, AC, go.
Yeah, I'm going to go with right now because I've seen the Wagner, to me, is one of the most irritating guys, the kind of guy that you want to play with. But playing against him, man, you want to sock him in his head. And that's about how I look at him. I mean, but Kim Noah, though, I didn't like him either. I'd have been wanting to knock him out, too.
Austin Carr, with his power rankings of the greatest villains taking on the Cavaliers. He joins us right now. All right, what changes for the Cavs? And I'm not talking about like hotels and things like that. I mean game planning, what Orlando's going to throw at them. What changes for them now that they're on the road and they start game three coming up Thursday night?
Everything changes is that they are definitely going to be more physical at home. They'll shoot better at home. So there's a few things that we're going to have to deal with that they didn't do in Cleveland. And again, they're going to be physical. The referees are going to give them calls, and we have to overcome that. And that's why I'm hoping that our shooting gets better, because if our shooting gets better, then I don't care what they do, they're going to have a tough time beating the Cavs.
What do you think of what we've seen out of the head coach, somebody who has been much maligned over the second half of this season, and J.B. Bickerstaff? Looks to me, AC, that he has put on a coaching clinic.
Well, yeah, well, he's definitely they've scouted this team well, and they know how to handle them, and they know what to do. I mean, because he's starting to – well, he did this during the season where he would incorporate the zone defense in the middle of the game. And when you do that with a team that can't shoot over the top well, that really affects them. And he's starting to really pull that little trick at the right time now.
Austin Carr joining us on the show. I got to ask, I'm going to get skewered for this. Did you see the Lakers last night, or did you go to bed early?
Yeah, I watched it.
Is that a backbreaker there? I mean, giving up a 20-point lead, I know it's LeBron,
You got to understand, the Lakers are full of borrowed players, and they don't have enough guys who are committed to the franchise. I mean, most of these guys have come from other places, and one thing that happens when you have a lot of guys like that, they shrink in the hour of need, and you could just see they just you know, didn't really, all those guys, they just couldn't deliver because they're not used to delivering, and that's what you're stuck with when you borrow people like they borrow people at the last minute, going to get guys just to fill a spot.
AC, I want to get back to the Cavs here for a second, because Donovan Mitchell coming into the series, he has to deal with all these rumors about his future, and you know there's going to be a time to make sure to iron all that stuff out. He looks as emotional and as locked in as I have seen a Cavs player since you know who. What have you seen from Donovan Mitchell?
Oh, he's ready to go. He knows what it means. I mean, he knows that, you know, he didn't play as well as he wanted to play last year. So he's locked in and ready to go. And I just hope he stays healthy, because when he starts out fast, the team seems to follow his lead.
AC, we can't thank you enough for the time. Enjoy the rest of the series. Hope to run you down again soon. Thank you.
All right, guys. Talk to you later. Have a good day.
You too. Mr. Cavalier, Austin Carr on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Wonderful analysis from him, yes? You wouldn't believe who's sitting together last night at the end of the game. That coming up in a moment. But first, Jonathan Peterlin, he's sitting by himself hosting our post-game playoff shows against the Orlando Magic. We might only have two more of those. Our entire station is also gearing up for the NFL Draft. Download the Odyssey app today, which is absolutely free, to listen to our coverage on your smart speakers or on the go, whenever and wherever you are. Or
even if you're standing still,
would you like to go to the mall? Are you going to the mall? Sounded so weird. You see Rich Paul and Dan Gilbert were sitting with each other yesterday?
I did.
And the Lakers gave up a 20-point lead. And Jamal Murray hit the game winner over Anthony Davis. Speaking of spilling into seats, did you see he spilled into the Denver bench?
Oh, yeah.
While they were celebrating the game-winning shot.
That
which
one hurts.
I'm like, man, that's an extra insult. And people started putting two and two together. Now, to pour a little bit of cold water on this, LeBron is not Rich Paul's only client. And he certainly doesn't have two players on the Cavs.
I think he has at least two. I have to look.
Darius Garland is a client.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Okay. And Tristan Thompson is definitely a client.
Is still a client, right?
Yeah. So,
I mean, he has Draymond.
He's not just the president. He's also a client.
This is where I still, well done. This is where I still love the internet. That was some good old fashioned drawing conclusions there. When that internet photo goes around where Rich Paul's with Dan Gilbert after that game. And then all of a sudden, yeah. They lost a 20-point lead, and they lost to Denver, and it looks like that might be a dagger. Feels very 2018 right there. Like, okay, that's enough of that. Bye-bye.
Isn't it amazing how we take things such as the letter and we extrapolate from that, oh, no one's ever going to want to play for Dan again, and Dan Gilbert's never going to accept any Rich Paul's clients again. And there they are. They're just two businessmen sitting courtside.
Business is business. Like, I'll tell you, though, that Matt Ishbia stuff, boy, that seems about as personal as it can get.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know if we're ever going to be making a trade with the Suns. You watch. We'll make a trade with the Suns this offseason or something like that, and, you know, whatever. But, God.
Well, they'd probably argue that we would want to make a trade with the Suns because we'd want to bloody them in a trade, that we feel so good about that trade that we would, that's the argument you would make, right? And you'd power your GM to do that.
Yeah, I guess you would in that case. I'm picking the Guardians tonight. You know why?
Why is that?
A couple of specific reasons. They're welcoming in the Boston Red Sox, as you know, who I believe swept the Pittsburgh Pirates over the weekend in Pittsburgh. I would imagine, can you bus at all in Major League Baseball, or do you have to take a plane? Did they bus here? Because Sunday they had a day off. Either way, I think they were chasing...
You think the Red Sox from Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, it's not worth getting on a plane and putting all the equipment on and all that stuff. Like, can't you just take a bus? Or is it just like, no, that's for the minor leagues. We are not busing anywhere in Major League Baseball. I don't know how that works. Because I know the Browns go to Pittsburgh on a bus.
Yeah.
Because it's like...
But it's every year you're doing that.
Yeah. It's a two-hour thing. It doesn't take much and... Again, there's a lot of equipment.
You're saying how many times have the Red Sox went from Pittsburgh to Cleveland? This might be the first time.
It's true, but, I mean, the Pirates have come here. I'm sure other teams have come here now with interleague play on a road. I just don't know if they either way. They've had more time to enjoy Cleveland. There was a playoff game last night. I wonder if they hit the bars.
Oh, there you go.
I wonder if they hit our bars.
Yeah, I know, it makes sense,
where
right?
Were Nick and Dustin at yesterday?
Harry Buffalo.
They were at Harry Buffalo.
Wouldn't be surprised if I saw Devers in there. Wouldn't be surprised if I saw him tonight. Is Tanner Houck going to throw a complete game?
Yeah, I mean,
shutout like he did the other night.
He was outstanding when he took us on last time.
Got the game done in an hour and 49 minutes. Is he going to be able to do that again? Two times in a row?
I like your way of thinking.
Yeah, I'm taking the Gardos.
And
tonight.
I thought Lively showed some good stuff in that matchup.
Yeah, I'm taking the Gardos. How you like that? Yeah. All right, Mitch, what you got?
Real quick, teams can travel by bus if it's under 200 miles, but then they have to fly everywhere else. So this is a clip.
Oh, that's a good rule. Did you just look that up?
Yeah, it's from the CBA.
Well done.
Thank you.
Wow, you were able to pick through the whole CBA that quickly.
The entire thing. So we have this clip here from
Mr.
yesterday's
Ohio baseball for nothing.
Mitch,
exactly.
Please. Mitch, please. Here we go.
Yesterday's Yankees-A's game, two batters in, Aaron Boone and the umpire for the game, whose name is on the list here, Hunter Wendelstedt, had these interactions out after the first batter of the game, checked his swing on a hit-by-pitch. They thought he went around. The umpire didn't. So then this exchange, the crescendo of this exchange, happens when Aaron Boone's mouth is closed. You can see it on television. Here's the exchange via Yes Network.
The first base umpire you saw making that call.
You're not yelling at me. I did what I'm supposed to do and check. I'm going to get hit by the pitch. You got anything else to say? You're gone.
Okay? Oh, okay, Hunter. Well, you know what? We're not going to need a John Boy breakdown of that one. We got a very clear, there you go. And now Aaron's saying, I didn't say anything. Aaron's saying, hold on a second. I didn't say a word.
Hey, I did not say a word. I did not say anything, Hunter.
So that audio courtesy of what, Yes?
Yes.
So you got that audio? You can't find the Miles Garrett, Mason Rudolph audio? Okay. Regular season baseball game, couldn't find a Thursday night football game?
Okay. I can't believe that aired live.
All right.
I would have thought that would have jeopardized sorts of licenses.
He dropped an F-bomb, and they immediately...
They finally cut the mics
off. They cut that mic right off, which probably so. I mean, baseball players cuss as much as just about anybody out there. If you see this, Mitch, great find here. If you see the Zapruder film of it, they zoom in on the fan who did. The fan absolutely got Aaron Boone thrown out.
Yeah.
And he heard the fan over top of Aaron Boone.
Was he a Yankees fan?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. But they start pointing at the fan. The fan looks like the smallest person in the city of New York at that time, which I don't think it's the fan's fault that Aaron Boone got thrown out. I mean, the umpires should know. Fans can, within a reasonable...
Well, how is the umpire supposed to know, though? If they're not looking at that time. Are they supposed to know the voices of every single manager?
The home plate umpire, Hunter, what's his last name?
Wendelstedt.
Hunter Wendelstedt. He had said that in his explanation, he said he heard something down at the end of the dugout. And that Aaron Boone, as the manager, is responsible for what happens in his dugout and to his team. So that's why Aaron Boone had to go. He does not believe a fan yelled at him when clearly the video shows a fan in a hat and sunglasses and a blue pullover, which he eventually took off, I think, so he didn't get noticed, was the person who yelled something in his general direction about the call.
So imagine if you could throw your voice. You could get people in trouble big time. If you're a ventriloquist, you could throw your
Michael
voice around
Winslow
the room.
Would get everyone kicked out of a stadium.
I mean, do you want me to power rank my favorite?
And then he'd fly the helicopter in.
I can power rank my favorite ventriloquist tomorrow if you want to do it. You want to do it right now?
Yeah, let's do it.
Here we go. Without a doubt, number one, a little bit too blue for some of you family-oriented ventriloquists. Otto and George, rest in peace. The best ever.
Wow.
The guy was vicious. He would say the most vicious things ever. Sherry Lewis. Lamb Chops play along. Was very underrated.
Perfect.
Very underrated. And finally, you know what? I know he's probably too popular for most, but Jeff Dunham has some really good jokes in
no
there.
No thanks.
He has some really good jokes in there.
No thanks.
I know it became very in vogue to rip on him. He had some stuff you couldn't do today.
How about Edgar Bergen, Candace Bergen's father?
Oh. Is that where she got all of her talent?
The look Owen just gave me.
I did not know Murphy Brown would be coming into the show today.
Yeah, I know some stuff, brother.
Send us your power ranking. Favorite ventriloquist.
Oh, there you go. Mackenzie Bard is a ventriloquist. We talked about Edgar Bergen once. That's how I found that out. There you go. What a way to end this show. Big thanks to AC, Austin Carr, Mr. Cavalier. He was wonderful. Big thanks to Danny Cunningham. That was great. We have some audio that I think Lima's going to ask some people tomorrow about that interview. It was great stuff. Sal Palantonio, wonderful about the draft. Listen to that interview, 92.3thefan.com. We have the podcast coming up after the show, the emerging podcast scene, 10:15 on the free Odyssey app, 92.3 The Fan Extra, presented by Extend Technologies, where I wanted to talk about being a paperboy. I don't think Lima's going to allow me to do it. For Big Country, for Jeff, for Mitchapalooza, all Ohio Mitch, for the Slippery Wizard Anthony Lima, I'm Ken Carmen. Have a wonderful day, my friends. Go Cavs. Go Cavs. Go Gardos.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.